All-Star weekend from a Blue Jay perspective. You have Pearson putting on a show in the Futures game and Vlad Guerrero Jr. with the show of all shows in the Home Run Derby on the Monday. That was a pretty fun couple days to be a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah, it really was. It was a nice escape from a season that's not going in the direction that the Blue Jays certainly would have hoped, and a tough rebuilding year for the Major League team. But yeah, the All-Star game was a lot of fun. And I think Vlad Jr. especially was something to watch on Monday night in the Home Run Derby. And you know, we had so much hype around him leading into this season and surrounding his debut once he got to the major leagues. And in some ways he has lived up to it, but it was kind of fun to see him live up to and then exceed the hype in the Home Run Derby on a national stage. So that was really cool. That display of power is something that we're not going to forget anytime soon. And it was a lot of fun to see it unfold.
We were kind of joking about it as it was happening in here. Is that the most exciting Blue Jays moment of the last 3 years? Like basically since Donaldson slid across home plate to beat the Rangers, it hasn't really gone all that great for the Blue Jays. Is that the like kind of peak Blue Jays in the last 3 years?
That's a good question. I haven't gone through game by game, but you know, off the top of my head, you have another Vlad Jr. moment, which was the home run in that exhibition game in Montreal where he walked off at Olympic Stadium. But that was another exhibition game, and it wasn't in front of a national audience the way this one was. So, yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, this has got to be up there. And there's certainly, I'll put it this way, there certainly haven't been a lot of moments that would exceed what Vlad Jr. did on Monday in the scope of the last few years.
A lot of the attention now with the Blue Jays is on the trade deadline. The big chip is Marcus Stroman. He doesn't get into the All-Star game because of the injury. Is there any concern that that injury could hold things up trade-wise for Stroman and the Blue Jays?
Well, we've seen it happen already, so I don't think that we can rule it out. And certainly the Blue Jays are hoping that Stroman will be able to pitch on Sunday. And based on what Stroman told us at All-Star Week in Cleveland, he's feeling good. He's expecting to throw a bullpen tomorrow, and then he will be ready to go on Sunday. So that's plan A right now. If that happens, I don't think there'll be any problem trading him. But we've already seen that this pack issue has seemed to be a little bit more serious than it was initially believed to be. And it's already kept Stroman on the sidelines for, what is it now, 10 days, something like that. So it's not completely insignificant, even though it was described as a it's more of a strain in the left side of his chest. So it's something that he's working through. He says he's optimistic, but until he takes the mound, we're still in wait-and-see mode.
There was a report this week that the Twins were potentially looking at Stroman and Ken Giles as a package. In terms of getting the best return possible, would it be more beneficial for the Jays to package those two together, or do you think it'd be better to have two separate deals to bring in a few more assets for Toronto?
I think if you're the Jays, you have to be open to either one. I don't think that, you know, there's one formula that will absolutely get you a better trade return. So you definitely have to be open to packaging them to a contender like the Twins. And that's certainly one fit on paper. But if you get more by splitting them up, great. If some team really wants to go all in and do all their shopping in one spot, then that's fine. As long as they're willing to pay a lot and give up a lot of prospects, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. Even if it means sending them to the Yankees. I mean, it's just get the best return that you can. I don't think you worry about what is it happening. Two separate deals, or do we have to get pitchers back, or do we have to get, you know, guys in double A or triple A? I think you just need to overall maximize the talent that you're getting back and the value that you're getting back. And if you do that, then you're probably going to come out of this trade deadline stronger than you did last year with Jay Happ, where they didn't get enough back, but they still, you know, made that deal for Brandon Drury and Billy McKinney. In hindsight, though, they need to do better with the Stroman deal.
I know Atkins signed the extension earlier this season, but you mentioned the Happ deal. That one has not worked out. The Donaldson deal up until this point, we haven't seen much from the return, obviously, that A, the return for Donaldson, and B, the player being hurt out of the team's control anyway. But how important is this deadline for Ross Atkins to kind of, it feels like he needs to hit a home run with this Stroman one.
Yeah, it certainly would help. I mean, I don't think that, you know, with all of the patience that's required to see how trade actually plays out, you know, I don't think that he needs to go out there and hit a home run to keep his job necessarily.
Okay.
I think that he needs to hit a home run or at least an extra base hit to advance this Blue Jays rebuild. And that's the most important question for Blue Jays fans. As they're watching this deadline unfold, is how close can this team get to contending and taking those next steps forward by trading the likes of Stroman and Ken Giles? And there's no point in trading these guys if you're not getting something significant back. So this definitely matters. This is a really significant time. You know, I think that given that the Blue Jays extended Atkins earlier in the spring, I don't think he's trading for his job or anything like that. But at the same time, for this franchise, it's a huge opportunity, and you only get a few of these, right? Like last year, they had Asuna and Hass that they were trading, Donaldson that they were trading, Granderson. You know, the year before that, we saw them walk that line at the trade deadline as well. You're not doing this every single year, or at least you're not hoping to, because at a certain point, you want to be contending again. So this is one of those chances for the Jays. They've got to take advantage of it for sure.
In terms of other trade chips for the Jays, I saw it was just an article of who would fit where, and Justin Smoke's name came up a little bit. Do you see Justin Smoke potentially being on the move in the next 20 days?
I think there's a chance, but I don't think the Jays are going to get much back for Smoke, for Eric Sogard, for Freddie Galvis, for Daniel Hudson. Even though they'd be willing to move all those guys. Now, I think Hudson will move because someone will need a reliever and they'll be able to get something back. But Smoke's a little trickier because you don't have a guarantee that any contending team will need a first baseman. And there's a chance that, you know, injuries happen and someone could go into a slump or need time in the minors. At that point, Smoke is a really solid veteran who can hit from both sides of the plate, play solid first base, and of course, a really even-keeled presence in the clubhouse. So there are a lot of reasons to like Justin Smoke, and he's on a reasonable contract, but I just don't see any team giving anything up for him of significance. The Blue Jays, of course, would love to prove me wrong on that front, but you know, I don't think that Smoke, Sogard, Galvis, they're veterans, they're solid players. I don't think that you're really getting much back for those guys.
Do you see a move with even if you're not getting much in return, with Bo Bichette now seeming like just almost maybe even days away from a call-up with the Blue Jays, do you kind of have to move one of those guys out just to free up a spot for Bichette to come in?
I think you do. I think that's a good point. I think with the infielders in particular, Sogard, Galvis, these guys have value. They're having really good years, but they're not parts of this team long-term. And there are enough players on this team, position players on this team, deserving of at-bats that you probably do need to clear some space for Bo Bichette. So I think that either you're trading Freddie Galvis or you're benching. And so if you're not comfortable benching Galvis, who's going into this year had the active consecutive games played streak in Major League Baseball, if you don't want to bench him and someone who's hit really well and been a really good teammate and contributor this year, then you have to trade him. So I think that's a distinct possibility because Bichette has to be the priority over Freddie Galvis. But there are other ways around that too. Because you could bench Galvis, someone could get hurt. You could have Bichette play a bit more second, mix him in there, share time at short with Freddie Galvis. And of course, you could option someone like Brandon Drury to create the roster spot. So there are different ways that you can playing time, but I think that Freddie Galvis probably doesn't want to take out a long-term lease or make too many long-term investments in the city of Toronto in the next couple of weeks.
Last one for you. Nate Pearson put on a show in the Futures game. Whenever you almost hit 102 on the radar gun, people are going to start to take notice. The big holdup for a lot of people with this rebuild for the Blue Jays is a lack of high-end pitching for Toronto. Is Nate Pearson that high-end pitcher that people are hoping for the Blue Jays to kind of progress this rebuild forward?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great pitcher and someone who can undoubtedly be pitching in All-Star games for the Blue Jays in the relatively near future. I mean, he's got a ton of potential. You look at the numbers he's putting up at AA. You look at the pure stuff. There's all kinds of reasons to be excited by Nate Pearson. I think there's no doubt in my mind that he could get major league hitters out right now. And we might see that happen in the major leagues before long. But, you know, I think at the same time, as you know, as Blue Jays fans know, really, you need so many more pieces than just one. And you look at the best teams in baseball, the Dodgers, just to pick one example, they had Clayton Kershaw and Hyunjin Ryu and Walker Buehler all in the All-Star game. You know, it's the depth that the Astros have with a Garrett Cole and a Justin Verlander and a Ryan Pressly. Those are just the All-Stars. I mean, to say nothing of the guys who didn't make the team. So it's, I think the Jays are a long way away from having, you know, a few All-Stars on the pitching side. And so they need to find ways to find those impact arms. But Pearson is absolutely a great start on that front.
Ben, thanks for doing this today. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the second half of the Blue Jays season, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Looking forward to it. My pleasure.